else in the world, but in the house of the Lord, in the presence of His people, worshiping, praising His name, lifting Him up. Amen. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And we've been lifting Him up this morning. God is so good. I have just a very brief message this morning. I do ask you if you would be gracious enough to stand for the reading of this one scripture. Amen. I'm thankful that Pastor's back. Somewhere, this one's ringing. I don't know, this one's better. I'm thankful Pastor's back, but he came back and he was sick. And he had warned Andre and I a couple Wednesdays ago. He said, you always have to have a message to preach. You never know when you're going to get called upon to preach. What if I wake up sick in the morning and I can't come to church? And then 2 weeks later, it happened. I don't know. But thanks for the heads up, Pastor. Amen. So God is good. Amen. He'll be okay. He's just recovering, getting some additional rest from his trip. And he'll be back with us very shortly, all right? Praise the Lord. So Psalm 36:5. And I wanted to thank the men that came and helped yesterday to put up that screen. Everybody turn around and look at the screen back there. Okay. Some of you guys didn't even see it. I was telling my son this morning on the way here about the screen. And he said, well, you showed me a picture, but I haven't seen it in person. And he said, I'm just going to be looking at that screen the whole service. And I said, I hope not. I hope you look forward, keep your eyes forward, and pay attention. So everybody's seen the screen, so now you can focus on the word. Amen? Psalm 36:5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. I want to talk to you this morning about mercy and grace beyond measure. Mercy and grace beyond measure. Can we just lift up our hands, lift up our voices, ask God to bless this time? He's already here. He's been working in this service. Ask God that you would complete and finish the work that you've already begun, God. Ask you, Lord Jesus, that the victory, Lord, that we need today is here in the house, God. Lord, help us to receive it, God. Help us, Lord Jesus, to walk forward, Lord Jesus, to Lord, help us, God, to be anointed, Lord Jesus, to pour out upon us, Lord God, your Spirit and what you want to do in this house, Lord. I know that there's still yet more to come, Lord God, with what you want to do and how you want to work, Lord Jesus. God, you can fill somebody with your Spirit this morning, God, for the first time, Lord. You can bless them, Lord, to be able to repent, Lord Jesus, like they've never been able to before, God. Ask you, Lord, to extend your mercy and grace, Lord God, into this house this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. Amen. This is it's just a very simple idea, very simple message this morning. And that is that mercy and grace is beyond measure. Mercy and grace is beyond measure. You know, I was a very curious child. And my mom recounts a time where I got a hold of my shoes and I was sitting there taking the shoestrings out of my shoes. And then she said I was putting them back into the holes and trying to lace them back up. And so I've always been curious. And especially as I grew, I would start thinking and looking around the world around me. And I would start thinking about size and measurements and how tall is that building, and how tall are you, Dad, and how tall, and this and that and the other, and asking all kinds of questions. And I didn't always get answers for them, but there they were. Now you can just Google stuff, and so parents got it easy today. They could just Google it, say, hey, Siri, how tall is Mount Everest? And she'll tell you. And she's trying to tell me right now. 29,229 feet. Wow. Now you're distracting me. Go away. But But you can ask questions on the internet and you'll get these answers. But what you lose with that is you lose the journey of measuring and getting involved in actually touching the physical world around you. So last week when we started the class, Brother John helped me last week, and we handed out rulers to the kids. And I was looking around the room the night before and thinking, what are they going to measure in here? But they went around and measured all kinds of things, doorknobs, windows. They were measuring each other. And how tall are you? And how wide are you? And how, that's the less, you know, desirable question. But they got busy because we put a measuring stick in their hand and they were able to look around. And when I was younger and got to the point where I was old enough to go on hikes with my dad, and we'd go to Mount Charleston in the Sierra Nevada mountain range, and we'd go to Red Rock Canyon, and I'd say stuff like, how much farther do we have to go, Dad? And how much higher is this mountain? And how long is it going to take? And he'd begin to tell me and estimate those things and try to give me a good answer. But mostly he'd try to tell me to be quiet and look around. Because me talking, I was missing stuff. And he said, you'll see. But you got to wonder. And then I got to see this with my child, with my son. I fly a drone every once in a while. It's a hobby of mine. And we're outside flying the drone. And he says, Dad, how tall is the tree in the front yard? And so I was able to take the drone right up to the top of the tree and kind of sit on it. And it showed me how many meters high the tree was. Then he said, well, is that tree taller than that tree? And so I said, I think that one's taller. I think this one's taller. And we were able to fly around and see which tree was the tallest tree. And I thought that was really cool to see him have that same curiosity that I had. Well, in the word of the Lord, there was a man named Job. We've all heard of Job. He had turmoil and questions, and he was sitting there and really had an accusatory tone, and he's asking God, why am I going through all of this trouble? Why am I going through all of this mess that I'm in? And he asked God questions after questions after question, and he takes chapter after chapter. It's like one of the longest books in the Bible. It takes chapter after chapter after chapter, asking God all of these questions. And finally God says, okay, Job, sit down, be quiet. I'll say it nicely. And in Job 38, verse 4, God starts asking Job some questions. God says, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. And then verse 5 says, who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? So you get this picture of God also measuring out the parameters of the world and even of the galaxy and even of the universe. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? Where were you when I held my measuring stick or my line in my hand and said, this is how far the ocean is going to go. This is how high that mountain is going to be. This is how tall that kind of tree is going to get. This is how tall that kind of animal is going to get. This is how deep that ocean is going to go. But you know what? I want to tell you something. That God did not just measure physical things, but he also measured out spiritual things. God also measured out his mercy. He measured out his grace. He measured out his love. He measured out the truth. He said, this is how great it's going to be, and it's just going to increase. And so our opening verse says, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. So that gives you kind of an idea of how far the faithfulness of God goes. But Psalm 89 verse 2 says, for I have said, Mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. So you get a better idea that as far up as you think the mercy of God goes, that it's going to continue to be built up and built up and built up forever. Well, as you may know, that as time goes on through this world, that wickedness shall wax worse and worse and worse. Evil in this world today is more rampant than it ever has been before. The opposition to God today and sin against God today has gotten worse and worse and worse. And so it stands to reason that if sin's going to get worse, and if wickedness and evil is going to get worse, then so is the greatness of God going to increase and the mercy of God going to increase. That it's going to have to reach farther than it ever has before to reach you where you are. It's going to have to reach deeper than it ever has before and higher than it ever has before to reach you where you are. And He will and He can. Amen. God's work, God's mercy will reach far beyond any fault that you have. God's mercy will reach far beyond any sin that you have. God's mercy will reach out, and wherever you are, if you'll call on His name, God's mercy will find you there. It will touch you there. Amen. See, we can measure the things around this world, but God's mercy is beyond measure. God's mercy is beyond measure. Psalm 108 verse 4 says, "For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds." Then it says, "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth." Amen. God's mercy, His greatness, His kindness, and His love towards us, amen, is immeasurable. Amen. God's mercy is immeasurable. Amen. And that fact should not make us stray farther. The fact that God's mercy will reach us where we are shouldn't give us a longer leash to go sin worse. Absolutely not. The fact that God's mercy reaches farther, amen, should make us want to get closer to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. That's all right. Let's worship the Lord. I want to get closer to You, God. I want to get nearer to Thee, oh Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. It should compel us to stay close to Him. Amen. Because what mercy is it's God's kindness and His pity and His goodness towards us when we deserve reproach and reproof, when we deserve to be cast off, when what we have done would cause others to shun us, it would cause others to shame us, amen, it would cause others to not want to be around us, or not want to associate with us, amen. God's mercy still allows His kindness and His love and His goodness to reach you, even though you're worthy of reproach. I'm so thankful for God's mercy. Amen. Where would I be without the mercy of the Lord? Where would I be? Amen. I would certainly be broken. I would certainly be destroyed. Amen. But it's God's mercy that reached beyond my fault and met me at my need. Hallelujah. Amen. It met me where I was. Amen. He reached out. Amen. And bridged the gap between me and Him. Hallelujah. Psalm 139 verse 7 says, and I know this to be true. Psalm 139 verse 7 says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Amen. I know it's true, because there was a time in my life that I had walked away from the presence of God. There was a time in my life where I was questioning whether or not I wanted to believe. There was a time in my life that I had let sin lead me astray. Sin brought me away from Him and from His presence. It took me out of the church. Amen. And I was lost, and I was helpless, and I was hopeless. But I remember, amen, having that overwhelming, despairing feeling when I was underway on a submarine. And Brother Andre told you, I was in submarines before I met him, before I met any of you. I was in submarines. And one time I got really sick on the submarine, and I thought, man, I just feel like the presence of God has left me, that it's not in my life anymore. And of course, I know that God is in every place. And having a knowledge of that and having that in your reality is sometimes two different things. So I felt so far away from God. And I was like, why am I in this situation? But what I did was I found a place by myself to kind of crawl in. And I was barely squeezed in between these two big oil bays. And I found a place on my knees, and I called out to God, and I said, God, if you'll get me out of this situation, I'm going to serve you. If you'll get me out of this situation, God, I want to praise you. I want to give you glory. I want to have my life be used of you, Lord. And He did. He got me out of it. Amen. He brought me out, but I felt His presence there under the sea, under the ocean. Amen. I felt His presence there. Hallelujah. How could David all those years ago know that if you went down into the lower parts of the sea and called on God, that you would find Him there? Amen. There's something about His presence. There's something about calling on His name. Can we just do that right now, Lord? Oh, I worship you, God. I praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. One of the hikes that we went on, me and my dad, we were by ourselves, and we kind of got off the trail a little bit, and we were short on time. We were supposed to be somewhere, and so we started getting off the trail, which I know now we're not supposed to do that, but we came to a point where there was this drop-off, this cliff, and we had to go down it. We couldn't walk around it, and so it was, of course, very dangerous, and I was a very small child. I was probably maybe a little younger than James is, and my dad said, well, let me go down first, and I'll see if there's a path, if there's a way to get down this cliff, and then I'll come back up, and I'll help you. And so he went down, he found a route, and came back up, and he said, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold you between me and the rock. And so my arms will protect you from falling, and my legs will protect you from falling. And if you fall on me, I'll be able to hold on to the rock, and we'll go down. And of course, we went down and had no problems, and I didn't fall. We got down the cliff. But before we went down, I was looking down that cliff and saying, that seems too far down. I could die if we fall down that, if I fall down that. I could hurt myself, Dad. And he said, no, I'm going to be here with you to help you. And that's the kind of questions that you can have sometimes. How far down am I going to go? How far down am I going to go to reach the bottom? That's sometimes a question we have in life. Is what is it going to take for me to hit the bottom? Am I going to bounce off the bottom when I get there? What is it going to take? And how far down can I go? How deep is that pool? How deep is that pool of despair? How far is the bottom where I can start to climb up and get out? Well, we sometimes wonder if the grace of God can reach us at the bottom. We wonder if the grace of God can reach us while we're low. And I have a scripture for that. Proverbs 3:34 says, "Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly." No matter how low you are, no matter how far down you've gone, God's grace can reach you there. His grace is beyond measure. What is grace? Well, grace is God's love and his kindness and his affection, his graciousness, his benevolence, his favor. Amen. And especially his influence, the way God can only influence you in your heart and the results that it has in your life. Grace truly is God trying to lead you and teach you and show you just how my Father showed me how to get down that cliff. Put your hand there now. Put your foot there now. I've got you. My arms are wrapped around you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to get you out of this mess. Amen. Surely God's grace, amen, can bless us with material things. Amen. But that's never the point. The point of God's grace is to touch your heart and have you respond in worship. Amen. That's why God gives us his grace, is to stop doing the things that cause us to not worship him and start responding in a way that will worship him. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:15, this verse says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace..." Say, how much grace does God really have? It's abundant. It's abundant. How much grace does God really have? Can we measure the grace of God? It's abundant grace. It says that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound or result or have the effect to the glory of God. Amen. It's so that you can stop doing the things that are making you go further down to the bottom, and that you can start responding in a way that will help you climb out of the pit that you're in. When you look up and you see the hand of God reaching down for you, grab a hold of it. Let him lead you out. Let him get you out of that mess that you're in. Hallelujah. 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 Let's reach up right now and ask God to give us his grace. Lord, hallelujah. Touch my heart. Touch my life, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. I need your grace, God. I need you to touch me, Lord Jesus. I need you to have your way, oh God. Hallelujah in my life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. So the question's still there. How far does the grace of God go to lift us out of our lowest place? Psalm 130, verse 1, it's a song of degrees. It says, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." Hallelujah. I want to fear the Lord. Amen. And depart from iniquity, depart from wickedness, and respond with the worship that I'm supposed to. Amen. Respond in the way that God can help and lead me out of those pits. Amen. When you call from a deep place, when you call out to God out of the depths, he hears you right where you are. Amen. And if you should doubt that God's grace is enough, it is. You might say, well, you don't know the sins that I have in my life. You don't know the kind of things that I've gotten myself into and the kind of things. Well, guess what, sir? You don't know what I've gotten myself into either. Amen. Guess what, ma'am? You don't know how far I went either. Amen. And I can tell you this, if God's grace is sufficient for me, His grace is sufficient for you too. Amen. You're right. I don't know how far you've gone, but I know someone who does. Jesus knows. Jesus knows how far you are. And Jesus is the one that can bridge the gap. He's the one that can hold that measuring stick in His hand and say, yes, I do go that far. Hallelujah. Romans 5:20 says, moreover, the law entered. The law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. So if you think that your sin is too great, if you think that the thing that has got you on the path to hell and destruction is too great, amen. God's grace is greater. God's grace is beyond measure. God's grace can reach you. It can reach you right there. Amen. Yes, it's true. Sin put an immeasurable distance between God and man. But grace and mercy reached across the distance through Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, you might say, well, I could really use some of that grace. I really need that grace and that mercy today. Amen. And if there's so much of it, where can it be found? Jesus is the only source of grace. Amen. Jesus is the only source of salvation. Amen. He's the only one that can save. We've got to look unto Him. We've got to turn our eyes towards Him. We've got to turn our attention and our voice and our calling and our prayer towards Him and ask Him to reach us, and He will. Hallelujah. John 1:17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me talk a little bit about Jesus. Amen. Jesus, amen, is the infinite, immortal, eternal God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Amen. 1 John 5:20 says, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Colossians 2:8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. See, God, you're right. Sin, you say, well, how far does my sin take me away from God? Well, too far. That's really the answer, too far. When you get to the point where you can't feel the presence of the Lord because there's sin in your life, you've gone too far. When you get to the point where things are more important, the things in your life are more important than the things of God, you've gotten too far. I mean, what's the distance that you really want to go? If you continue in sin, it will take you too far. What's the premium that we put on God's presence? Is it really the most important thing in our life? Jesus saw the need for each and every one of us. And the distance that He had to go for me might be different than the distance He had to go for you. But the distance He went was to the cross. He died for our sins. He died He's poured out his life's blood so that we could have life and that everlasting. He poured out his life's blood so that we never had to continue in sin again. I'll ask that same question that I asked about mercy. Amen. The same question that should compel us to get closer to him. Amen. Is grace an excuse for us to sin? Is grace an excuse for us to get farther away from God just because we know that he's going to reach farther than our sin? Absolutely not. Amen. But what did Jesus do? He came and he bridged the gap between us and God. Amen. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He was the one that measured the distance, and he was the one that gave his life to bridge the gap between you and God. Amen. Grace beyond measure came when he shed his blood for my sins. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen. He came to pour out his life, amen, on the cross so that we could have salvation. And much more than that, he came so that we could have his spirit in our life. Amen. See, if you believe that he really came, do you really believe that he really poured out his life? And do you really believe that he was nailed to the cross? Do you really believe that he went into the tomb and came out 3 days later victorious over death, hell, and the grave? If you really believe that, amen, God has so much more than you, so much more for you, amen. Faith is just the beginning. Believing is just the beginning, amen. We can have access to the grace of God, the immeasurable, the grace beyond measure, the mercy beyond measure. Romans 5:1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Amen. Faith just unlocks the door to the immeasurable grace of God. Faith just unlocks the door to that leading and that teaching and that lifting of the Holy Ghost that can only come from Jesus Christ. Jump down to verse 5 and it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He bridged the gap. Amen. Grace is not a free pass to do whatever you want. It came at a great price. It came at the price of his perfection. He became sin who knew no sin. Amen. That he might be the mercy and grace of God for us. Grace makes me want to stay close to God. Grace makes me want to get nearer to him, as close as possible. Amen. I find that right here in the house of the Lord is really the times that I've felt the closest to the Lord. Amen. Right here in the presence of God. And we had a demonstration of that earlier in the service, where we're all worshiping and united in our worship and in our praise, and the grace of God is freely flowing in this house. Amen. This is a place where we can get close to the Lord, where we can reach out and grab a hold of the hand of God. Amen. And be lifted out of where we are. Amen. Your sin will make you think that you're too far from God. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. Don't listen to the devil. The devil will say, oh, you went too far now. Well, I don't know if the grace of God can reach you now. He's a liar. Amen. The grace of God is beyond measure. Amen. Psalm 103, verse 8, and I'm coming to a close, says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Can we stand right now all over this place? Amen. We're going to go into a time of prayer and of repentance and of calling on God. Amen. Musicians, would you come? Amen. There's so many times that you feel like you've gone too far. So many times that you might feel like the presence of God has left your life. And I don't know who this message is for, but God really wants to touch you and move in your life today. Even if it's just a reminder of God's mercy, that refreshing that comes from the mercy and grace of the Lord. Even if it's just a reminder, amen, that God is near you, that he's here to comfort you and lift you up and continue to lead your life. Amen. Even if that's all it is today, let's respond to God. Amen. He really truly has caused his grace to flow into this place this morning. He really has caused his mercy to reach this morning. Amen. And as far as our sins might take us away from him, amen, his mercy goes farther. His grace goes farther. Amen. Acts 3:19, the last verse I want to read, says, repent ye therefore. Now that you know that God's mercy can reach you and his grace can reach you where you are, no matter what your level of need is, now that you know that God's mercy and grace is beyond measure, repent, call on God, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Grace beyond measure will appear wherever people are repenting, wherever they're being converted, wherever sins are being blotted out, you can find the grace of God. Amen. That happens right here in the house of the Lord. Amen. And this time right now is so key. I know it's so easy for us to get distracted. We've got plans this afternoon. We've got things to do, and we want to duck out of here, and we want to go do this, and we want to go do that. It's not time to think about any of that stuff. Right now, it's time to call on the name of the Lord. Right now, it's time. Just give some time and some space for the Lord to move in your life right now. Amen. I'm going to open up this altar. Amen. And really, what I like to see is for people praying with other people. And I want to ask you right now, if you need God and you need his grace right now, his mercy, which we all need, amen. But if you need a special touch, if you need God to move in your life, if you need him to reinforce and strengthen your life, amen, would you come to this altar? Amen. If you would like to be prayed with, amen, I really would like to see people praying with people, amen, just reminding them of God's mercy and of God's grace. Really would like to see young people praying with young people, amen, and older people praying and husbands praying with wives. And find a friend, amen. Find somebody who needs prayer this morning and ask them what they need prayer for, and ask them, amen, if they believe that God's mercy and grace is enough. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's do that right now. Can we do that? Hallelujah, Jesus. Find somebody to pray with just for a few minutes. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I love you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come to this altar. Come to this altar area. Bring somebody to the altar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Husband, bring your wife to the altar. Amen. Mother, bring your children to the altar. Let's have a time of worship. Let's have a time of calling on the Lord. Let's have a time of renewal and refreshing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. In His wonderful face.
Find somebody to encourage today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light.
Amen. Ladies, can you come pray with these young people?
Your
mercy and grace, oh God.
Turn. can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. Yes, I want more of you, God. 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 Yes, I want more of you, God. Yes, Jesus, Lord, we need you, God.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I desperately need the grace and mercy of God. Amen. I'm reminded of that that prayer, Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me, O God. Amen. I remember as a small child going to the prayer room and hearing my pastor say that. And I used to think, well, if he needs mercy, then who am I? I need God's mercy. I need His grace. Amen. And just having that message of grace and that message of mercy in my life, it's just invaluable. Amen. See, we're sometimes the hardest on ourselves, and we have the hardest time forgiving ourselves for the messes that we've got into. But you know, if God is gracious and merciful to us, then we've got to give ourselves some slack. Give yourself enough encouragement so that you can make it. Don't be so hard on yourself that you immobilize yourself like the deer in the headlights and can't get out of the road. Amen? You got to move forward. Got to move forward. Praise the Lord. Let's keep one another in prayer. Amen. There's things going on behind the scenes that we have no idea about, but God is really, really, truly moving in our lives and in this church body. You don't have to talk to just a couple of people, and you know God is on the move. And I want to keep moving with Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. And we have prayer tomorrow night at 7. And we didn't have any announcements, so I'll say all the announcements right now. We have winter fire coming up next week.
This week.
Yeah, it was next week yesterday. Winter fire is the 23rd through the 25th. That's this week. We have Wednesday service here at the church. The following week, on the 3rd and 4th of March, we're going to have men's conference. And if you need more information about that, talk to Brother Andre. Actually, was going to ask if we could get a quick head count of anybody that's going to men's conference. Men's conference. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Looks like six of us. Awesome. On the 5th, let me make sure I get my dates right. On the 5th of March, following men's conference, we're going to have Brother Sterneman here from Rhode Island. He'll be here preaching for us. And on the 12th of March, and this is very, very special, the 12th of March is going to be a special children's service right here at Apostolic Lighthouse. The kids are going to invade the service and take over. They're going to get the first three rows of seats, and it's a special service on the 12th. Okay? Kids' service. We're having Brother Kent and Sister Heidi McLaughlin are going to come down and minister just to the kids. Okay? So think of some kids that are not here that you can bring. We want to fill up at least these first three rows with kids. Sound good? Awesome, awesome, awesome. We had about 80 people here a couple weeks ago, and 30 of them were kids. That's just incredible. Yeah, it's awesome. Awesome. And then the last thing I want to mention is the 8th of March, we are having our foot washing and communion service. That's a very, very special and important service. Matter of fact, there's some new people that have come to the church more recently within the past 6 months, and they were asking me, when are we going to have communion around here? What's going on with that? Why haven't we had communion yet? So we're having communion and foot washing on the 8th of March. And that's, if you miss all the other things, don't miss that. That's very, very important. All right? Praise the Lord. Let's pray in our dismissal. Jesus, right now, Lord, ask you, God, to have your way. Move, Lord, in this place. Move, God, in our lives, Jesus. Help us, oh God, to have grace and mercy beyond measure, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Ask you, Jesus, to keep us, keep our families, Lord. Encourage us, Lord God. Help us, oh Lord, to live for you, to serve you, Jesus. Lord, bless our pastor, Lord God, that he'd recover and get better, Lord. Heal him, Lord. Heal his body. And Sister Greeley, Lord Jesus, have your hand on them. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you so much. Let's lift up our voices and love him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we praise you. Thank you, Lord, and love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.